This is the Risky Business News Podcast, prepared and read by Cătălin Câmpanu. The US Security and Exchange Commission announced on Tuesday that it's expanding its cyber unit with 20 new positions. The unit will also be renamed from the SEC Cyber Unit to the SEC Crypto Asset and Cyber Unit. While its new name implies a new focus on crypto market fraud, the unit has already been tackling criminal crypto activity since 2017. SEC Chair Gary Gensler said the 20 new positions will allow the unit to continue to look at wrongdoing in the crypto markets while still being able to investigate cybersecurity cases, as it was initially set up to do. Per the SEC, the new unit will investigate securities law violations related to stablecoins, DeFi platforms, NFTs, cryptocurrency exchanges, and crypto lending and staking products. Some of these crypto services have been rampant with exit scams and false promises, leading to huge losses among investors. According to numbers released by the blockchain cybersecurity industry, cryptocurrency platforms and users have lost or have been scammed of more than $1.78 billion US dollars this year alone. A US man was found guilty of scamming the US Department of Defense out of $23.5 million US dollars as part of a bank scam. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, the suspect phished a government contractor and hijacked DoD payments meant to pay for jet fuel to troops operating in Southeast Asia. The man, named Serkan Oyuntur, will be sentenced in June and faces tens of years in prison. UK officials have detained a Romanian citizen living in the UK for his alleged involvement in a series of DDoS attacks against Romanian government websites over the weekend. Romanian officials said the suspect provided translation services to Killnet, the pro-Russian hacker group that took responsibility for the attacks. In response to the arrest, Killnet threatened to attack and take down ventilators across hospitals in Romania, Moldova, and the UK. The group's threats are not being taken seriously in either country. The Indian government is also dealing with its own security issue after the government had to fix a misconfigured Elasticsearch server that exposed the details of millions of Indians who signed up for the e-hospital portal. The leak was discovered by Ukrainian security researcher Bob Diachenko, who said the database contained 259 million patient records going as far back as 2015. In other news, after several Israeli government websites were hit by DDoS attacks over the past month, the Israeli government said this week that it's working on new regulations for telecommunication providers in order to improve resilience against cyber attacks that may bring down crucial services. This new legislation effort, described as an Israeli cyber dome, is still in its incipient stages, and it's unclear how this new effort will turn out. It's unclear if there'll be just a series of guidelines and standards, or if the government will get involved in running the unified defenses itself. In addition, there have been a series of cyber attacks over the past few days that have severely crippled the activities of several companies. This includes attacks on Onlyhe, a popular German online book library, Sixt, a German car sharing or car rental service, and Massey Stores, Trinidad and Tobago's largest supermarket chain. According to news reports, the library's catalog has been offline for days, Sixt had to take car reservations using pen and paper, while several of Massey's stores are still closed following an incident last week. In addition, a ransomware attack has also forced the Kellogg Community College in Michigan to close its campus and cancel classes on Monday and Tuesday this week. And since we're on the topic of ransomware, North Carolina has also passed a law this week that has made it illegal for local governments to pay ransom demands following a ransomware attack. By doing so, North Carolina becomes the first U.S. state to outlaw ransomware payments, with similar bills also being in the work in Pennsylvania and New York. But experts remain divided if this new law will stop U.S. state governments from paying. MC Software analyst Brett Gallo told Risky Biz News that he doesn't foresee that ransomware gangs will abandon attacks on US government networks.
So the question is whether the new anti-ransom legislation will actually do anything to stop attacks, and I'm not convinced that it will. Most ransomware attacks are random and opportunistic, they're not planned in advance, which leaves the question whether an attacker would abort an attack when they realize that they have landed on a government network in Pennsylvania or wherever. And I don't think they would. Why would they? What have they got to lose by pressing ahead and encrypting the network? The worst case scenario is they end up not getting paid. The best case scenario is that the state reconsiders its position and decides to pay them.
In other ransomware news, cybersecurity firm Trellix has formally linked four ransomware strains to North Korean state hackers. The four ransomware families are named Beef, PXJ, Chichi, and ZZZZ. Previous reporting also linked the VHD and T-Flower ransomware strain to North Korean state hackers. Trellix linked the four ransomware strains to Unit 180 of Bureau 121, the country's cyber warfare agency. According to Trellix, Unit 180 is responsible for making money for the regime through cybercrime, such as deploying ransomware and attacking cryptocurrency portals. Also in ransomware news, Everest, a hack and leak group that has been around for years, posted a message on their leak site this week announcing that they are now ready to move into the ransomware field. This is a major development because until now the group has only ransomed companies using data stolen from their networks but has never actually encrypted data. We also had a report from Trend Micro this week, which described a series of recent attacks where the Avos Locker ransomware deployed a version of the Avast anti-rootkit driver on system they've attacked. According to Trend Micro, the threat actor used this legitimate tool to disable security solutions running on their networks they've compromised. The use of the Avast anti-rootkit driver is a relatively new technique, first described in a AON report in February 2022. Also in some very interesting ransomware research, over the past few days, security researcher John Page has published details about vulnerabilities in several ransomware strains, such as Conti, Revel, Lockbit, Evos Locker, Black Basta, and Lucky Locker. Page claims that some of the issues that he described in his reports can be used to create ransomware vaccines and stop the ransomware from executing. However, as several people have pointed out, because he published details about these bugs, most ransomware crews will most likely patch their code in the coming days. In terms of APT news, Mandiant has published a report on Tuesday about a group they're tracking as UNC3524. Mandiant says the group has been targeting the emails of employees that focus on corporate development, mergers and acquisitions, and large corporate transactions. Researchers said that even if the group looks financially motivated, they suspect the group might be engaged in espionage-related activities. They based their assessment on the fact that the group had several technical overlaps with a Russian threat actor known as APT-29, because the group had long dwell times inside breach networks, because they enter networks via IoT and networking devices, and they often recompromise targets once they were detected and lost access to a network, all of which are techniques usually used by advanced and persistent threat actors and not financially motivated groups. Also in APT News, Recorded Future released a report on Tuesday about a spear phishing campaign carried out by Russian cyber espionage group Nobelium, which impersonated news and media providers. In addition, Google Tag also said in a report on Tuesday that the Ukrainian war is now a favorite phishing lure for many government-backed threat actors from China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia, as well as many cybercrime and financially motivated threat actors. And last but not least, SentinelOne has published a report on a Chinese-aligned threat actor the company is tracking as Machine Dragon. SentinelOne said the threat actor has been active in Central Asia, and what stood out about their attacks was the fact that every time their malware was blocked, they abused locally installed security software such as Symantec, Trend Micro, Bitdefender, McAfee, or Kaspersky to sideload their malware onto targeted hosts. In his report, SentinelOne's Joey Chen said the issue exploited by Machine Dragon is an age-old design flaw in the Windows operating system, which allows DLL search order hijacking and not the fault of the security software makers. This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com.